to Gospel of John, chapter 12. John 12, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Now we know that verse 24 is one of the famous verses in the Bible. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Then immediately the Lord followed that wonderful statement by a paradox. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. Let's have another word of prayer before the Lord. Dear Lord, once again we are like Mary sitting at your feet, at the feet of our Master, at the feast of our Lord. Now, dear Lord, we ask to speak to our hearts. May your word really sink into the very depth of our being. Lord, we need you, and we pray that. Give us an open heaven this morning. Bring every one of us once again to the Mount Transfiguration, that we may see no one but Christ. We only hear him, and hear him only. Thank you, Lord. Sanctify this time, separate this time, that only you and yourself may be glorified in our midst. In the name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. We know when John, the apostle, wrote Gospel of John, roughly while he was almost 100 years old. And by the time when he was writing this gospel, most of the disciples of our Lord already left for the glory. And here was John, who was alone and alone with Christ. And one day, Holy Spirit really touched his heart. And then he began to write. And he wrote this wonderful gospel. Now we know that actually this is God's gospel, is the memoirs of John. When Holy Spirit exercised his heart, then he remembers something. What happened in the past. Almost one century has gone. And I think his memory was brought back to the very early time. How he first met his Lord. So if we study the whole Gospel of John, you will discover it's completely different from other three Gospels. Because no doubt, if you read the whole Gospel of John, somehow you can hear the heartbeat of John. Because when the memories went back to the early days, how he first met his Lord, and how he knew the other disciples, and how he remembered the call from the Lord, follow me. And then, how this disciple followed the Lord. And roughly 3 years and a half. So you see, when he put everything together, that's Gospel of John. So brothers and sisters, when you read this gospel, you discover it's very different from other gospels. Because in this gospels, John remembered when he was saved. And he remembered when he first met the Messiah, his Lord. And it was John who told us. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. He could never forget. Even he was getting old. But he remembered the time he first met his friend. He still remembered the calling from the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, because he remembered his Lord, that's why he remembered everything connecting to the Lord. When he met the Lord, and later how he followed the Lord more than roughly three years and a half. You know, brothers and sisters, if you read Gospel of Matthew or Luke or Mark, you won't get an idea how long they have followed the Lord. Only when you read John. Because it is only in this gospel we have been told three Passovers. So that's why the Bible scholar could gather from this book, this gospel, and knowing that John not only has followed the Lord at least 3 years and a half. So brothers and sisters, when you come to this gospel, you discover actually this is memoirs of John. Because John remembers then by the leading of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he wrote down this wonderful gospel. And then from chapter 2 to chapter 21. Now he remembered how they really followed the Lord, because there was a way there. You see, the Greek term, this word following me, follow me. Now Campbell Morgan told us, it means somehow the Lord is going to travel. The Lord is going to travel in a way. And these disciples, they didn't have their own way. Now they are going to travel. They are going to travel with the Lord. So what is the meaning of following our Lord? It means that we come to the end of our way. We don't have our way. And he has a way. And he said, follow me. So from chapter 2 to chapter 21 of John, you discover that's the way how John, Peter, James, and other disciples, they followed the Lord more than 3 years and a half. But then, brothers and sisters, when you study the record of John, you discover that way, that Christian walk, that Christian way, or that Christian life began with the miracle, a miracle. And now you know that's miracle in Cana. You know, what is the meaning of Cana? Cana in Greek means the land of reeds. Now you remember, if you study the Bible very well, Bible compare man with a bruised reed. That's why Bible said, a bruised reed he will not break off. Now that's the beginning of following the Lord with John. Because they start with the land of reeds. And John now confessed that we are nothing but the reeds. Outwardly speaking, the reed was very tall and strong. But inwardly speaking, it's empty and weak. Anyone can go and break it. But the Bible said, a bruised reed he will not break off. That's not with our Lord. And it began with Cana. My brothers and sisters, began with the land of reeds. It began from zero. It began from the weakness. And John confessed that, and his disciple confessed, we are weak. We start from the land of reeds, and that's Cana. And then you know how the Lord changed the water into wine. And last night we mentioned, according to Exodus, miracle in the Bible means the finger of God. And you remember how our Lord touched his finger and how he has changed water into wine. Thank God. That's the beginning of Christian walk of John, or the beginning of Christian life of John and his disciples. He began with the land of reed, Cana. But then, brothers and sisters, after 3 years and a half, now we come to chapter 21. Then we discover another miracle happened. The first miracle, we are told there was no wine. But the last miracle, we are told, there was no fish. And again, our Lord touched his finger, moved his finger. Then they got 153 fish. My brother and sister, after 3 years and a half of following, they should be mature in the Lord. They have gone a long way with the Lord. Brother and sister, how wonderful it was to follow the Lord. When they were hungry, the Lord really feed them. When they are tired, the Lord was with them. And when they were in danger, and how the Lord scoped the storm, and everything was all right. So with that 3 years and a half, how the disciples were with the Lord, and how they grow in the grace of God. And when they reach the end of that road, that means at the end of 3 years and a half, then we are told, here is another miracle. The miracle of 153 fish. Now, brothers and sisters, what does that mean? That means this Christian way began with a miracle. It ended up with a miracle. It began with the finger of God. It ended with the finger of God. You know, according to Luke chapter 6 verse 40, if I remember correctly, the student can never be greater than his master. If he is perfected, he will be like his master. So here was the program of the Lord to his disciples. When they are perfected, they will be transformed into the image of their master. So my brothers and sisters, now you see what way, what kind of way, why the Christian way or Christian walk is full of miracles or is a miracle. Because it takes the finger of God. It takes the finger of Christ to work in us, to transform us into the image of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, when John remembered that long walk with his Lord, when he remembered how he began the walk, and he began with the first miracle, and then he ended up with the last miracle. Now, if you study chapter 21 of John, again you found the word Cana. It means, again, the land of reeds. So, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. You discover such a wonderful symmetry when we follow the Lord. Don't forget, we begin with zero. We end up with zero. In the beginning, we have no wine. At the very end, we have no fish. In the eyes of God, we are less than nothing. We are just like a number minus 100. So by the working of the cross, we have been lifted up from minus 100 to minus 99. Then minus 98. Then minus 10. Then minus 5. Then minus 2. Then finally, we have been lifted up to zero. Now that's always the goal of the working of the cross with us. Every miracle has a purpose. To promote us to zero. To lift us up to zero. No longer I, but Christ who lives in me. Now that's greatest miracle, brothers and sisters. If today people can see Christ in the church, and this is greatest miracle in this city. Why? Because we know that it's Christ and Christ only. The greatest miracle of this universe. So thank the Lord. That's how He works. That's why when we study the Gospel of John, we discover a series of miracles. And how many? Last night we mentioned 8 miracles. Because 8 stands for the number of resurrection. And then you see from the first one to the last one, then we see the wonderful Christian life. And not only Christian life is full of miracles, Christian life is a miracle. As I have mentioned last night, we can never live a Christian life unless we have a Christian life to live. And thank God, because Christ is in us. He's working in us. Then somehow, miracle has been performed. Now, this morning, we'd like to go to one of them, because last night we have mentioned the first miracle. And this morning, we would like especially occupy ourselves with John 1 miracle. So let's turn to John 6. Chapter 6. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a great multitude was following him, because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Now remember, the 8 miracles in the Bible, in the Gospel of John, always describe as the signs. The sign is not only a miracle, the sign is a miracle with a spiritual lesson behind it. So that's the meaning of the sign. And verse 3, Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And now the Passover, the feast of Jews, was at hand. Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great multitude was coming to him, saying to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread that these may eat?" Then the following record, you know, is that wonderful story about how our Lord has fed 5,000 people. Now, this miracle of feeding of 5,000 is most important miracle recorded in the whole Bible. Because this is the only miracle which has been recorded in 4 Gospels. Now, that's very unusual, and that's really something. Because in Matthew chapter 14, you have found that record. And same thing with Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. So, in 4 Gospels, now here you find the only miracles which has been recorded in 4 Gospels. So, that means it must be very, very important one. This is like a mountain peak of the miracles of our Lord. So somehow, he must have hidden some of the treasure of Christian lesson, of the lessons about Christian life in this great miracle. Now, unfortunately, today many people, they don't believe this miracle, especially with modernists. You see, they are Bible scholars, but unfortunately, they don't believe it. For example, if you pick up any books by William Barclay, and when they come to this passage, you discover somehow he was lost. He just couldn't understand how this miracle could happen. That's why they suggest many theories, try to help the Lord, try to help the Bible, try to solve the problem. That's why they suggest, you see, when the Lord was teaching, when the Lord was performing this miracle, because our Lord was giving the message, and the message was so touching. And then everybody really have their 5 loaves and 2 fish from their own pocket. So everybody take that 5 loaves and 2 fish, then that's how everybody was satisfied. And that's how many 5,000 has been fed. But my brothers and sisters, to me it's much more simple to believe that this is a miracle. Because that's something to do with the greatest paradox given in the Bible. Now, brothers and sisters, what is a paradox? A paradox is an apparent contradiction. A contradiction in terms, but not in deep reality. So my brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to teach us some very important lesson. A great paradox in the universe. If you only look with the natural eyes, just like modernists, if you try to use your fallen head, fallen mind, to understand the Word of God, then they got into trouble. They saw that's paradox. They saw something wrong there. But brothers and sisters, the Word of God never contradicts, there is no contradiction within the Word of God. But remember, the Word of our God always contradicts with the old man. Always contracted with the natural man. So here you discover an apparent contradiction. But actually, a contradiction in terms, but not in deep reality. If you really have a spiritual eyes, you discover a beautiful paradox here. And that's why, after when we are told that parable of the wheat, how the wheat, a grain of wheat, fall into the ground and die. You remember that wonderful statement? Immediately after that, then our Lord present a wonderful paradox. We know how true it is in the Christian life. And that's how we found the difficulty. That's always created a problem for great theologians. Why? Because God, the Lord has given us a wonderful miracle. And this is a miracle of feeding of 5,000. Now, the key to this verse, to this miracle is this. Especially in Gospel of John, we have been given the setting of this whole miracle. Now, you don't find that in other Gospels. And the Bible said, now the Passover, the feast of Jews, was at hand. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing that a great multitude was coming to him. Now this multitude actually were on their way to the feast of Passover. They were on their way to Jerusalem. So now when they saw Jesus, they came, want to listen to him. But anyway, you know, the atmosphere at that time was the atmosphere of feast. The great feast of Passover, annual Passover, is coming. So everybody is going to Jerusalem. And now by the way of great wilderness. Now when they pass through the wilderness. Now in the air you will catch that atmosphere of Passover. Then immediately the memory will bring people back to the olden days. How their father, their ancestors, once upon a time, also passed through that great and terrible wilderness. Now, brother and sister, you remember, according to Psalm 78, there was one phrase, can God prepare a table in wilderness? Now, if you study the Old Testament, one of the most important miracles, actually, it is really the miracle happened. And what was that miracle? God has prepared a table in the wilderness roughly 40 years for the people of Israel. And some people said, we just cannot imagine the miracle of crossing the Red Sea. So many modernists try to help the Lord, try to create many interpretations, many ways of interpretations. But brothers and sisters, yes, to cross the Red Sea was a miracle. But many people forgot. A table in the wilderness for 40 years, that is one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament. And sometimes we were overwhelmed by the Red Sea. And what happened in the seashore, and we forgot. Actually, there was a great miracle happened in that 40 years of history of Israel. God has prepared a table in the wilderness. Now, brothers and sisters, why when Holy Spirit recalled this miracle and saying the Passover, the feast of Jews, was at hand, And the Bible says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and seen a great multitude coming to him. Because again, our Lord wants to use this wonderful opportunity to show to the world. He is going to prepare another table in the wilderness for a new generation, for a younger generation. Actually, it is not another table. Actually, it is the same table. It is the same God who prepared the table in the wilderness. But brothers and sisters, here you will find a table in the wilderness for the new younger generation. But the God was the same. And again, here you find the miracle actually is the same. So you see, brother and sister, here you find how our Lord is going to prepare a table in the wilderness. That means our Lord is going to prepare the banquet. Then he is going to show to the world he is the true bread from heaven. Just like the manna from heaven feeding those people. And you know how many people were in the wilderness? Bible said 600,000 people. Now here it is 5,000 people. You know what does that mean? Our Lord is going to raise a new generation, to raise the descendants of Abraham from these stones. So brothers and sisters, and this table is very symbolic, is very important. Because this will tell us, even today, our Lord is spreading, is preparing the table in the wilderness. There is a great need in this world. Here you will find 5,000 people. And in the Old Testament time, is 600,000 peoples. So, brothers and sisters, what does that mean? This is very meaning, it is very meaningful because today church is the true Israel. We are the called ones, just like people of Israel have been called by God to the wilderness. Today we are the same. Today you discover we are the called ones by God and we gather together as the church. Then you discover there is a great need. There is a great need in the church. There is great need in the church. And then we discover when God spread his table, how many people he has to feed. He has to feed 600,000 people. That is a great need. That table were for 600,000 people. Now our Lord was going to spread prepare a table for 5,000. You know why? When our Lord performed this miracle, he has the Pentecost in view. Remember, brothers, here this miracle is something connected with the feast of the day of Pentecost. And you remember how the Church of God, how the Church of Christ was born, how the Holy Spirit baptized that 120 individuals into one body. You remember that story? And you remember how Christ sent them saying, look, be my witnesses from Jerusalem and Judea to the remotest part of the earth. Now that's a great program for these 120 people, these 120 members of the body of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, how they are going to fulfill that mission. How they are going to go from Jerusalem to the remotest part of the earth. Thank God. You discover if the people of Israel typify the Church of God today, if typify that great need, then you discover on the shoulder of each of those 120 members of the body of Christ, you know, if they are going to feed 600,000 people, now how many people are supposed to be upon each shoulder of those 120 people? Then you discover it is exactly 5,000 people. So, brothers and sisters, For that reason, the Lord had to perform this miracle, feeding of 5,000. Why? Because this is the only miracle in the gospel. The disciples, not only the observers, they are the participants of that great miracle. You read your Bible, brother and sister, you read all the miracles in the four gospels. And many, when the Lord performed those miracles, you discover these disciples, they are just observers. They observe with wonder. Because this is a wonderful sight. This miracle, that's just something beyond them. They were expected. They just observant. They are just observer. They observe what our Lord has done. But remember, there was one miracle our Lord invites all His 12 disciples to be the participants in that great miracle. Why? Because the Lord was equipping, trying to equip those 12 disciples. No longer 12 disciples. It will become 120 members of the body of Christ. Now, they have to experience these wonderful miracles for one purpose. Each one of them, they are responsible for 5,000 people. So, brothers and sisters, for that reason, we discover this miracle is so important. It's so unique. And it's something to do with what happened in the day of Pentecost. And what happened to the whole history of the church. And my brothers and sisters, by this way, we ought to learn some important lesson from this wonderful miracle. Now, we said, our Lord was preparing the table. He wanted to give them something to eat. There are 5,000 guests were coming to Him. Now, He wanted to feed them, just like our God has fed those 600,000 people of Israel. So, brothers and sisters, now the banquet was going to be ready. But remember, our Lord wanted His disciples to be part of it. Not just as observer, but a participant. Now, for that reason, you remember, before our Lord was going to spread or to prepare the table, and the disciples came to our Lord because they discovered a problem. Because it was almost a time of sunset. It was very, very late. But these people were still gathering. So for that reason, for that reason, they came to the Lord and they gave the Lord one important suggestion. Because here you have 5,000 people. Now how are you going to do with them? How are you going to help them? How are you going to feed them? Now, the disciples, they already sensed the serious situation at that time. That's why they present to their Lord with one solution and a very quick solution. And that solution is that to send them away. You see, brothers and sisters, if you are facing a problem, especially in the Christian life, we think that somehow, if the Lord somehow just send them away, just send the problem away, that's it. And sometimes we think that since our ship, our boat, when we encounter some kind of rock under the water, we thought that we asked the Lord to remove that rock. But brothers and sisters, it is the grace of God that so often He won't remove the rock underneath. But He let the water of grace rise over the rock. Then you discover that the ship or a boat can sail safely over it. Now that's a miracle. Yes, with us, we are so clever. We say, just send them away. And just send the multitude away. But you know what was answered from our Lord? He said, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord said, you give them something to eat. That's your responsibility. Because our Lord tried to train them, not just want them to see the miracle. The Lord want them to experience the miracle. The Lord want them to be the participant. That's why I say, you give them something to eat. But, brother, isn't this the table of the wilderness the Lord is preparing? If this is the table of the Lord, then the Lord was the one who is going to give them something to eat. But the Lord said, you give them something to eat. So for that reason, we know that how the disciple of Christ, these 12 disciples, became the participants. And Lord invited them to be part, to have a part in these miracles. And so, brothers and sisters, that's why it was so wonderful. Matthew could never forget it. That's why it recorded in Matthew. And Peter could never forget this miracle. That's why it was recorded in Mark. And also, John could never forget it. And not only that, he filled in the details. He gave us the setting of this miracle. Then we can understand this miracle in a better way. But now, how are you going to solve the problem? Because now 5,000 people are waiting to be fed. And here there are only 12 disciples. What do they have? How are they going to solve the whole problem? So you see, the first thing, he turned to Philip. You see, he turned to one of the disciples and he asked Philip, where are we to buy bread that these may eat? Now, very interesting. Probably, you see, Philip was from that area. That's why probably the Lord turned to Philip first and say, now, where are we to buy bread that this may eat? Now, brothers and sisters, if you study four gospel carefully, this is the only occasion our Lord asked the opinion from other people. Our Lord never done that. That's His glory. But don't forget, when the Lord said, where are we to buy bread that this may eat? And immediately John knew that we may misunderstood the Lord. And he said, this he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. But somehow, brothers and sisters, when the problem came, arise, and now our Lord want to train Philip, want to help him and try to show him to the right solution. And then, you know, what Philip says? Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Now, when you read this verse, probably you think this is nothing, but actually it's very amazing a statement, you know. You never know that Philip was a great mathematician. And the speed of the cell in his mind vibrating, I don't know, what is that speed? Probably the speed of light. It's very amazing when you read this verse. Think about it. Now, one denarii actually is the wage for one day at that time. Of labor, just for one day. So roughly, according to that time, suppose one family has five people. So roughly, they will spend half denarii per day for three meals. So for 6,000 people, now if you do a very quick calculation, you discover it's 200 denarii, exact 200 denarii. So you see, brothers and sisters, he is really a mathematician, and he's really great. You see, he can just, when the Lord asked him, you see, the first thing came to his mind, let's calculate the need. What is the need here? Now, how we are going to supply the need? So he presented the solution to the Lord. Now we need 200 denarii worth of bread, but even this is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. Now, don't mention that they probably even don't have that 200 denarii. So they have a solution in their mind. They present to the Lord, but it won't work. But now that's the problem with Philip. Then again, you discover then who gave another solution? That's angel. So then the Bible said, one of his disciples, angel, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Think about the brothers, more than 500 people there. And Philip's eyes were so sharp, he couldn't find one lad who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. So you see, that's a great discovery. Sometimes that's how we study the Bible. You see, we thought we are so sharp. Now here is the problem. We have found someone who has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now sometimes when we think about these 2 fish, it must be a big fish like this, right? That, especially in Chinese restaurant. It's a very big one. But don't forget, at that time, especially for the general people, this actually 5 loaves and fish is for lunch for this kid. So you see, actually that fish, don't forget, that fish is roughly like a sardine. It's a small fish. It's not a big fish. And because they were so poor, you see, when they get the fish, they salt it. So it's a salted fish. Because why they want to make it salted? Because they were so poor. If it's not salted, then you will swallow just one mouthful. That's it. So by that way, you have to eat it slowly because it's so salty. And that's how they got 2 fish, small fish actually. So you see, brothers and sisters, the angel discovered a solution because he found a lad which has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But then he said, what are these for so many people? Now sometimes, you see, even it's not enough for just one person. So then how you are going to feed 5,000? Now, brothers and sisters, it's very interesting. Why the Lord turned to Philip and then Andrew? It's very, very meaningful, brothers and sisters. Last night we already mentioned. When the Lord performed that miracle of changing water into wine, and the Lord told his mother, my hour has not come yet. Finally, he performed that miracle, but that's only rehearsal. Because only when the time come, when the Greeks came to say to the Lord, we want to see Jesus, then the Lord know. Now that's the time when the world cry out through the mouth of these Greeks, we have no wine. Then you discover the Lord said, that's the time. And he went through the wine press, which is the cross. Then he really had given the wine to the whole world. So brothers and sisters, you see that? When the Lord was performed at a miracle, it was just rehearsal. It is, the time hasn't come yet. Now the same thing here, brothers and sisters. And the Lord was training Philip, and the Lord was training Angel. First Philip, then Angel. Now you know why? Because this will tell us the correct interpretation of this miracle. Because this is always the method of John. John was so skillful in this by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So you see, brothers and sisters, when those Greeks really came to see Jesus, when the need of the world finally arise, now, brothers and sisters, when that really happened, when the time the Lord really is going to perform that miracle because he is a true vine, he wants to change the water into wine. Now, when that happened, now you know the Greek first came to Philip. Then Philip went to see angel. Then both of them came to Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, then what was that solution? Now, when they both of them, and they led the Greeks who came to Jesus, then what our Lord says? He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So, brother and sister, do you see that? After Philip and Andrew, here comes the word about that wheat. And the Lord is that true wheat.
And he remains alone if he did not fall into the ground and die. But now we discover he fall into the ground and die, and it remains by itself alone. But if he dies, it bears much fruit. So, brothers and sisters, remember very well the miracle of feeding of 5,000. Why just 5 loaves and 2 fish? And many 5,000 people, they were fed. Because this bread, this loaf, had been multiplied in the hands of the Lord and disciples. You see, the Bible said the Lord kept giving the disciples. And disciples only passed to those 5,000 people. Then, by that incident, we discover the Lord indeed fed 5,000 people, because somehow you discover not just 5 loaves and 2 fish, it had been multiplied. My brothers and sisters, if somehow the disciples kept that loaf in their hand, and it will remain alone. But brothers and sisters, you know that our Lord is that true grain of wheat. And because he died for us, because somehow he was in the hand of his Father, and our Heavenly Father broke him while he was on the cross, then you discover he bare much fruit. Now, in the time of Pentecost, as this first fruit, our Lord is the first fruit, then this grain of wheat means the maturing of life in the wheat. But now you discover somehow this wheat will be crushed into pieces. Somehow this wheat will be grinded. And somehow the oil put it into it, and finally it becomes the bread. It becomes the loaf. Now, brothers and sisters, and he is the bread, true bread from the heaven. Because he was willing to be broken by his Father in the hand of the Father. That's why, my brothers and sisters, the whole world was being fed. And remember, this is the true interpretation of this miracle of feeding of 5,000. Because our Lord is the true bread which is from heaven. So, brothers and sisters, if you see the field of grain of field of wheat, and you see after many months, in the beginning there was only one grain of wheat, but finally after a few months you discover it is many wheat. It is bear much fruit. So, brothers and sisters, this is a multiplication. Because somehow a grain of wheat has died, has been broken, has been divided into pieces, and finally you find the harvest. So if this is true in the nature of God, now it is also true with that miracle. But remember, our Lord only did it with less than 1 second. So remember, brothers and sisters, when he broke that loaf, and then when he distributed to the 5,000, now immediately you will find a harvest. Immediately you find that many people, they were fed. So that's exactly what happened. That time. So, brothers and sisters, when we come back to this miracle, then you discover when they came to the end of their solution, Philip couldn't solve the problem. Angel discovered something, but he couldn't solve the problem. So finally the Lord said, "Bring them here to me." Now that's the solution. And my brothers and sisters, this is the call to consecration. So when we really hand our loaves, because if you study Gospel of Mark, the Bible said these loaves were in the hand of disciples. Now when they give up that 5 loaves, that means at the very beginning they got 5 loaves. But when they give it to the Lord, when they transfer this 5 loaves from their hand to the hand of our Lord, what does that mean? That means in their hand, the 5 loaves are reduced to zero. Nothing in their hand anymore. But that's exactly the solution. That's exactly the miracle of that's exactly the miracle happened. And not only that, you know the story very well, how our Lord, not only the Lord blessed the loaf and also break the loaf. The loaf itself already is only 5 loaves. Every one of them is small. But now the Lord is going to break them, even to reduce the size, even try to divide the loaf. My brother and sister, that's the miracle. And after that breakthrough, after the Lord really broke that bread, then we know that many people were filled. And you know, when the Bible said, when the Bible used the word, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up to the leftover fragments and nothing may be lost. Now, it means everybody is filled. Now, Holy Spirit used a very word which is very humorous. Actually, that word is supposed to use to describe a pig. You know, when the pig is well fed and to the full, then that's a Greek word there. So, the Bible used that word to tell that literally everybody is filled. And not only that, The Lord said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. And then finally, we know that 12 baskets full. I think we know that story very well. Now sometimes when we think about that basket, it's somehow probably something like when you go to a supermarket, you will have some basket. So somehow each disciple has one basket, so therefore you have 12 baskets. But that's a misunderstanding, you know. What is that basket? That basket actually is the traveling bag of those disciples. You know, at that time when Jews, they were traveling because they have special food. And they don't want to sleep with the Gentiles, so they put some straw in that bag. They also put their food in their bag. So that bag actually is as big as a man. It's very tall, very big one. And the Bible told us after the Lord has fed these 5,000, now each disciples got one full of fragments, and that fragment is not from something left over on the ground. No, it is the leftover when the Lord distributed that 5,000, when the distributed that 5 loaves and 2 fish, then. That's the leftover. That's leftover from the hand of our Lord. So that's why the Lord said nothing may be lost. Nothing should be wasted. Because somehow this leftover is the glorious leftover. So here tells us the story, the background there. You see, when the Jewish master tried to have a banquet. Now, they always have leftover because the banquet was so rich. Now all the servants, each one will carry the leftover and go home. And my brothers and sisters, that's exactly what happened here. You discover that how this, you discover that when they, you see, when these disciples, they receive the bread, a loaf from the Lord. And they only receive it and pass on. Receive it and pass on. They don't know what is going on. Why this 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed 5,000? They don't know. But some kind of multiplication was going on there. Some kind of increase was going on there. But they couldn't understand. All they do is that because they are a participant of all miracles. Now, the more they work, the more they labor, the more they themselves are full. You see, before this miracle, now, if you put the 5 loaves and 2 fish in these 12 baskets, and how you're going to distribute them. And if some basket was full, then some basket must be empty. But anyway, we have witnessed a wonderful miracle here, brothers and sisters. And finally, you will find they got 12 baskets full. So my brothers and sisters, that's how we are fed when we are giving out. When we are willing to be in the hand of the Lord, to be broken, to be divided. And finally, my brothers and sisters, we don't know why. Somehow, the need of the world has been met. And somehow, because we are laboring with Christ, and even we ourselves were greatly fed. So finally, brothers and sisters, after this miracle, you will discover some important principle here. So I just try summarizing quickly in 2 minutes. First, when the Lord said, give that bread to me, give those, when the Lord said, now bring them here to me, then you discover that the loaf, the 5 loaves, is decreased in our hands. But my brothers, what is the result? So here you discover that the operation of addition produced the effect, sorry, the operation of subtraction, because here you are subtracted. So the operation of subtraction produced the effect of addition. Now that's the first principle in this miracle. Now the second miracle is the operation of division. When this law was divided, it produced the effect of multiplication. You see, either division or multiplication, all are the operations here. But anyway, here you will find the finger of Christ. Here you will find the finger of God, how it works in this miracle. And not only that, when you divide one into fragments, you know, that's a fraction, right? One equal to half plus half, or one equal to one third plus one third plus one third. But anyway, the one integer one is greater than the fraction, is always greater than the fraction. But strange, when you have 5 loaves and 2 fish, after the miracle is performed, you see, they are giving out all those results supposed to be the fractions. Then you discover the fraction is greater than the integer one. That's the third principle. The last principle is this, brothers and sisters. Suppose you divide 5 by 2, and you know, 2 to 4, then you still have 1 left. You call that residue, right? Something like that. So you have something, 1 left. And that residue number should be smaller than 5, but always smaller than 5. But think about it. When John or Peter, when they receive 1 basketful of the loaves, it's much greater than the original 5 loaves. So here you discover another paradox. You can never explain in the mathematics. If you teach this mathematics in your primary school, you will be fired by your principal. But my brother and sister, you know how true it is in the school of Christ. That's how we learn this wonderful principle. Now, unfortunately, our time is gone, so I have to stop here. But thank the Lord that through this wonderful miracle, this is only the beginning. When you go home, brother and sister, you try to study this miracle carefully. Then you discover not only our Lord as a true grain of wheat, fall on the ground and died. And the Lord was inviting us to be the participant. That's why the Lord says, whoever loses life will gain that life. This is the paradox, brother and sister. As if we are divided, as if we are reduced, we become smaller and smaller, yet we become richer and richer. When we are weak, we are strong. And we know the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. Not only that, brothers and sisters, sometimes you discover that as if the dying of Jesus operating in us, then you discover the life of Jesus is working in others. Now, how do you explain all this, brothers and sisters? It all has been summarized in this great miracle. And that explains how we church today can serve the need in this perishing church, in this perishing world. And may the Lord be merciful to us. At least we see two important miracles in John. One is the first miracle, miracle of changing water into wine. Now we have the miracle of feeding of 5,000. May the Lord be merciful.